Let's pray. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us in the language of our hearts, that we may hear your word with understanding and answer your call with confidence. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the Lord's words. He assembled 70 men from the people's elders and placed them around the tent. The Lord descended in a cloud, spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and placed it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but only this once. Two men had remained in camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they hadn't gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, Nun's son, and Moses' assistant since his youth responded, "My master, Moses, stop them." Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the Lord's people were prophets, with the Lord placing his spirit on them." Moses and Israel's elders were assembled in the camp. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 35. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creations. And then there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things, both small and large. There go ships on it, and Leviathan, whom you made, plays in it. All your creations wait for you to give them food on time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are completely full. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all he has made. He has only the earth to look at, and it shakes. God just touches the mountains, and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Before we get to our Acts text, a note about our psalm. I always look for opportunities to kind of give you guys some insight. So if you ever look at the Revised Common Lectionary, it's this three-year rotation of Bible readings that is put out by kind of a committee of folks at Vanderbilt University. A lot of churches use it. We use it a lot. A lot of times you'll see something, though, when you look at those readings. It'll say, like, today's reading says Psalm 104, 24 through 34, and 35b. Now, every time I see that, I think, well, what did they skip? They skipped half of a verse. I wonder what's in that verse. This morning, what they skipped, Mary read. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Well, why would they skip that? Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant. And a lot of times they'll skip things like that. But when we read the Psalms, whose voice are we hearing? Are we hearing God's voice? No. The Psalms are written by people who are crying out to God, their prayers offered to God, their hymns, their lyrics. So this is not God saying they're going to wipe clean the earth of all sinners and the wicked will be no more. This is a person praying for that to happen. Have you ever prayed for anything in that realm? For someone to be smoted by God? A little brimstone and fire? I'm against skipping the hard stuff. The hard stuff is there, and we have to wrestle with it. So we tend not to skip it when we do the reading. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay. The third reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 24. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own language." They were surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions and your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. A sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him." So we are about 50 days following the Passover. That's what Pentecost means in Greek, 50th. And the city had once again swelled with people, Jewish people from all over, coming to the temple for a festival. It was the festival of weeks. It was the grain harvest, when they would bring their first fruits and offer them at the temple in thanksgiving. It was an important time for the Jewish life. So the city was full, and the people who followed Jesus, the disciples, were still in fear, hiding. Jesus had ascended, said, "Stay in the city. Don't leave until my Spirit comes, so the Holy Spirit is poured out." Now, they would have a little bit of an understanding of God's Spirit. We read the Numbers text. There were stories of when God showed up among the people. but those were few and far between. In their history, God's Spirit hadn't shown up very often. And when it did, it was for specific reasons, and then it left. So they had no idea what to expect or what Jesus was talking about. But the Spirit came. Not timidly, not quietly, but I picture the Spirit bursting through locked doors and window shutters and moving through the crowd. A violent wind that would move them and shake them. And something like tongues of fire resting on each of their heads. Now, if you're like me, when you read these types of stories, it's not like I want this to happen to me. And I imagine it was a bit unsettling for them in that moment. They had no idea what was happening. And imagine if we were all sitting here and suddenly it looked like our heads were on fire. That might not be something we want to experience. But they didn't have to understand what was happening, because what they experienced was internal. For all of its external elements, it was an internal transformation for each of them there. Something that compelled them from a place of fear and hiding and pushed them out the door into the streets. They couldn't be silent. They couldn't be quiet after experiencing the Spirit. They had to go and tell the people. Now, what's fascinating about this story is they weren't the only ones to notice something happening. God showing up was so loud that the people gathered in the city were wondering what is going on. They could hear it. Peter leaves the room and goes and stands before them. Peter, the one who 50 days earlier had cowered, denied knowing Jesus, and ran off into the night. He stood up before the people in plain view, and told them what was happening. And each of the people gathered from all over the Mediterranean heard him talking in their own language. They were puzzled. How is this possible? And more than that, there's a little old in-context dig at the Galileans. People did not hold the Galileans in high esteem. They weren't considered smart or good at much. They said, "How is this happening? Aren't these people Galileans?" Others said, "They're just drunk." Peter stands up and quotes the prophet Joel, saying, "In the last days, God's Spirit will be poured out on all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy, young will see visions, elderly will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs in the earth below." Peter understood that what was happening was fulfillment of what Joel talked about a long time before. Not everything was happening. The moon wasn't changed to blood. The sun wasn't changed to darkness. But the Spirit had been poured out on all people. When people ask me, as we're studying the Bible or as I'm talking to people, you know, what are the things that lead me to believe that some of these things happened? We can't know for certain. We don't have video. But one of the things I lean on is the change that Peter experienced internally. Peter went from cowering and hiding in fear of the authorities, of being arrested and condemned like Jesus, to standing boldly in front of thousands and proclaiming who Jesus is and what this means for them. He seemed to lose all of his fear. And I think that only happens when God is present. I look at the life of Peter as one of assurance that God is at work in the world. Now, we celebrate this every year. It's our excuse to wear red and get out the banners or curtains, as the kid called them. It's a reminder to us that God's Spirit is upon us. You see, contrary to what happened in the Old Testament, the Spirit was never taken away. The Spirit has remained with us and in us and works through us throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of people following God's path. The Spirit has kept moving. As many times as I've read this story, it occurred to me this week, when I asked the question, well, why wind? I get the fire thing. Several times God shows up and fire is present. With Moses and the burning bush, fire is there. God shows up. When the people are wandering in the wilderness, they're guided by a pillar of fire during the day. But why wind? And then it occurred to me, in their context, and for the people gathered that day, many of them fishermen, the wind was vital for them. The wind moved the boats. The wind provided for their survival. They needed it. The wind moves, constantly moves. It pushes, it pulls. We can't see it, but we feel it. Have you ever stood in a wind so hard it's hard to stay vertical? Because it might blow you over? The Spirit moves in this world, pushes us, moves us around, keeps us from getting stagnant, and pushes us to go out among the people, to share this good news of what's happening, to share a message of hope, to share an absence of fear, to share joy, to share belonging and oneness. The barriers that humans experience were removed in this story. Language is a huge barrier between us. He had all heard the message Peter preached. From this point on in their lives, they relied on the Holy Spirit to guide them and to move them in the world. They listened for the Holy Spirit to speak, and they trusted when it did. So in our modern context, what does this mean for us? It means that we're never alone. That just like them on that day, the Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit emboldens us. The Spirit wipes away fear. The Spirit pushes us, moves us into new places. The Spirit asks us to trust and to risk of ourselves, to follow where God is leading. The Spirit brings healing and wholeness. The Spirit brings belonging and oneness. The Spirit is still at work through us, sometimes in spite of us. So on this day of Pentecost, as we're reminded of this story, when you feel the push or pull of the Spirit, when the wind is blowing and it's moving you, trust in where it goes. Don't fight it. Follow it. Let it lead you. Listen to it. Have conversations with people you wouldn't normally talk to. Sometimes it's a quiet voice. Hey, say hi to that person. Or call this person that you haven't thought of in a long time. Or stop and offer to help. Often the Spirit pushes us in the most mundane and small ways that have ripple effects on lives and in our world. So let go of fear and go out in the assurance that the Spirit is compelling you and moving you, just as it did that group huddled in an upper room. And although we may not see the flames on our heads, they are there. So let us give thanks. Let us give thanks for a God that is active in our world, that is moving. And let us trust and follow. Amen. So friends, as you go out from this time of worship, know that you don't go out alone. The Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit is moving in our world through you. So go out in confidence, go out unafraid, follow it into the difficult places of our world, places of loneliness and isolation, places of anger, and be ambassadors of God's peace and love, God's belonging, God's inclusion, be ambassadors of justice in this world, ushering in God's kingdom. Go out in confidence. Be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who sits at the right hand of God in glory, and who sends the Holy Spirit to empower us for service in his name. And all God's people joyfully said,
Amen.
Share the peace of Christ with one another.